sort of an Alice in Wonderland world within the CTU these days.
Welcome to the AlderTrack AlderCast, a professional guide to Chicago politics. Each week, we're going to try to tell you what actually happened in Chicago government, what passed, who said what, in their own words, and why it matters. I'm A.D. Quigg.
And I'm Claudia Morell. It's Friday, April 22nd. This week, Mayor Rahm Emanuel says he's making a down payment on police reforms.
But aldermen won't get much of a say.
The Chicago Teachers Union rejects a fact-finding report and promises another strike.
These people want their cake, and they want to eat it, too.
And in her first action as new 4th Ward alderman, Sophia King blocks a vote on a parking lot.
I don't want community members to feel like they're being pushed out of their park.
But first, let's talk Chicago Public Schools. Another week of back and forth between CPS and the teachers union, with no end in sight.
Last weekend, an independent fact finder hired to mediate between the two parties sided with CPS. They said the contract the district offered the union back in January is a fair deal.
His recommendation mirrors a January 29th offer that was formally rejected by CTU's membership. Therefore, we say it was dead on arrival.
That's CTU President Karen Lewis speaking to reporters on Monday.
And by the way, Chicago Public Schools has told us at the table that they can no longer even afford the same proposal.
The two sides just fundamentally disagree. Lewis wants a few things: class size limits, a real charter moratorium, an end to school closings and consolidations, a dedicated pension levy, and a commitment to progressive revenue solutions in Springfield.
CTU has to wade through a state-mandated 30-day cooling-off period if the district does not comply with its demands, so we're talking strike again.
Meanwhile, CPS CEO Forrest Claypool, in a separate availability with reporters right after Lewis's, said the deal on the table is the best the union's going to get.
What we've offered is an incredibly generous deal, given the fact that the district is near insolvency.
Claypool told reporters he was perplexed that the union rank and file weren't given the opportunity to vote on the contract.
You know, it's sort of an Alice in Wonderland world within the CTU these days, and I do not understand it.
But he wouldn't comment on the possibility of a strike.
We're not going to make any premature judgments about how we would respond to a strike. We don't even know if there's going to be a strike. What we're saying is let's spend the next 30 days fighting for an agreement.
And both sides just can't seem to get it together.
We have said that we are available 24/7, round the clock, to meet.
We need some time to sit down and regroup.
We need the teachers to be part of the solution, not just, you know, spewing rhetoric.
We're not going to kill ourselves going over the same stuff. What we're going to try to do is meet on Thursdays like we have been.
We have not heard that before, that they're willing to meet on Thursday. That's good news. We will reach out and begin the discussion then, because we would like to meet today. We'd like to meet now.
And all that back and forth happened on Monday. The following day, Claypool had an event at Drake Elementary in Bronzeville to drum up support for the district's legislative agenda in Springfield.
And the day after that, Lewis spoke to the City Club, where she got some attention for saying this.
Rauner is the new ISIS recruit. If a man tells you he loves America yet hates labor, he is a liar. There is no America without labor, and to fleece one is to rob the other.
That leaves us with just 25 days left on the countdown clock before the cooling-off period ends.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel is acting on some of the recommendations from his Police Accountability Task Force.
The mayor announced Thursday he'd start implementing close to a third of the recommendations included in that nearly 200-page report released last week. Most of the changes have to do with police and 911 operator training. There are some tweaks to how the Independent Police Review Authority works, and the mayor promised to deliver progress reports every quarter on those reforms.
But Mayor Emanuel said he wants to wait for the Department of Justice to finish its probe into the police department before he makes any other changes.
A move that the head of the task force, Lori Lightfoot, disagrees with. Here she is last week when she unveiled her report.
One thing is clear. We can't wait to make these changes before the Department of Justice finishes its work.
Noting that the DOJ investigation just started in December and that the Chicago Police Department is the largest department ever to be investigated, Lightfoot said it could take 18 months or longer just to get to the finding stage, and that doesn't even factor in the time it takes to negotiate and implement new procedures.
Citizens can't wait that long. And there's no reason for that to happen. I think what we hopefully have set a realistic and achievable set of recommendations for the police department, for IPRA, for the mayor, for city council to embrace and embrace now. There's no need to wait on the Department of Justice.
So what about all those police reform ordinances aldermen have introduced and protesters have been calling for? Well, according to the guy in charge of the committee, they're going nowhere for the time being.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let the record reflect that the Committee on Public Safety is now in progress.
That's Alderman Ariel Reboiteras, chair of the council's Public Safety Committee, a pretty close ally of the mayor as well. He told us he's waiting to get more direction from the DOJ before holding hearings on any of those reforms.
Alderman Leslie Hairston, who proposed abolishing one police oversight agency, IPRA, was not happy.
She put out a statement saying waiting makes no sense and that the city has an opportunity to get in front of the DOJ and maybe save some taxpayer money.
And there are other proposals on a public safety auditor, a special prosecutor for the Laquan McDonald case, non-lethal ammo for Chicago cops, all waiting on a hearing.
Lightfoot said she's encouraged to see the mayor moving on things like an early intervention system for problem cops, new disciplinary procedures at CPD and IPRA, and quarterly progress reports.
We'll see how much of a ruckus aldermen make in the next few weeks. Council's freshest freshman alderman made her own ruckus at the monthly plan commission meeting this week.
I don't want community members to feel like they're being pushed out of their park.
Fourth Ward Alderman Sophia King used her newfound position to block a parking lot expansion plan from the Park District.
District wants to add 263 parking spots to a lot at the popular 31st Street Beach and Harbor. It's part of a six-year, $100 million redevelopment plan.
But Alderman King took issue with a permanent sign she says is prominently displayed at the entrance of the lot. According to her, it says only people with harbor passes are allowed to park there.
My kids grew up here and went to the beach, and I know personally we've been turned away from a beach that, you know, we've always been a part of for the last 30 years. And I know that residents are feeling that. So I just want to make sure in any parking plans that are there that the residents' input are accurately taken into consideration.
Now, it's not every day that an alderman attempts to block a zoning application before the plan commission, especially one from another city department.
Mike Kelly, the superintendent of the Park District, is on the plan commission.
I do want to remind everyone at the commission, this was a $100 million investment by the taxpayers for this community. The park was built for the community. The community rooms were built for the community. It's one of the most popular beaches now we have in our system.
But he was unsuccessful, and the chairman held the plan.
Members did vote to approve an ambitious South Loop skyscraper designed by the acclaimed architect Helmut Jahn.
I think this was one of my most challenging and also important projects. It's really going to have an impact on what the city looks like.
He had to shave about 200 feet from the 73-story building at 1000 South Michigan Avenue. It'll be residential with more than 500 units planned.
For now, thanks for listening to the Alder Track Aldercast. Please subscribe to catch us every weekend. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and WGN+.
And if you want to meet us in person, Alder Track celebrating its one-year anniversary at a panel and networking event on May 25th.
We're talking about what Chicago will look like politically in 2019 and whether the city's shrinking.
You can get tickets at anniversary.aldertrack.com.
Until then, catch our in-depth original reporting about Chicago and Cook County government by becoming a paid subscriber. You can learn more at aldertrack.com/Chicago. I'm A.D. Quigg.
And I'm Claudia Morell. Tune in next week.